Through our baptism, each one of us becomes children of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In our life journey, we either stay faithful to that call or we abandon it. And sometimes some of us go between being faithful to it and abandoning our identity as children of God. In today's gospel, Jesus is giving us a litmus test to see how we are living up to our vocation, which is the touchstone of being a true Christian. To being a true Christian doesn't mean that we know all the theological knowledge of our faith or of the Bible. It does not have anything to do with personal charm or having professional success. Nor does it mean that we have ecstasies in prayer or give ourselves extreme penances. Rather, the identifying mark of a true Christian is how we treat others, and that is how we treat all others, that we treat each other the way that God treats each one of us. God is kind and merciful, and we heard that in today's responsorial psalm. God is kind and merciful even to the wicked, even to the ungrateful. If we are his followers, and if we are true Christians, we will treat each other with great kindness and mercy, even when we are not treated in the same manner. We will be quick to forgive and to make excuses for those who wrong us, either through their actions or their inactions. We will avoid judging and condemning others. We will think well and speak well of others and treat each other as children of God, just as each one of us wants to be treated with dignity and respect. Jesus doesn't just tell us what we're supposed to do in life, but he tells us why. You see, each one of us is created in the image and likeness of God. Our God is a God of love. God's very divine nature is all about self-giving. Therefore, the more we can develop our capacity to love with an authentic, self-giving love, the more each one of us will mature and become who God has created each one of us to be. And just as a mature, healthy apple tree bears abundant fruit, so a mature, healthy soul overflows with the spiritual gifts of joy, peace, and enthusiasm. This is what Jesus means when he says, "Give, and gifts will be given to you." All of us can relate to times in our lives when perhaps a friend or family member has wronged us, where we have been in a relationship where the other person is take, 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 and never give, give, give. Someone that maybe only has time for us when they need something, or the only time they reach out to us is when they want us to do something for them. We can all relate to that kind of friendship, or perhaps that kind of a family member. And I want to share a story about an experience I had about 20 years ago when I was living in Phoenix. I had a friend, and for the sake of this, I'll call him Eric, just to give him a name. I don't want to use this person's real name. But I had a relationship where it was take, 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 and very self-serving, very self-absorbed. And I put up with it for a few years because I did enjoy his company. But you get to the point where you have a breaking point where you just feel used, you feel like you're not valued in the relationship. So for my own sake, I decided, you know what? I'm better off without this person than with him in my life. So I cut off the friendship. And every time I would think about him, especially if it was in the evening and I was in bed, because a lot of times when we're in bed, we have a lot of time to think, don't we? But what would happen is every time I thought of him, I would think of how he wronged me, and it would take me sometimes 2 to 3 hours to fall asleep. And that's what can affect us when we have something really negative on our minds. And I got to the point where when I woke up in the morning, before I even got out of bed, the first words I would say is, "I hate you, Eric. I hate you, Eric." And I said it every day that it became a routine, and I didn't even have to think about it. And one morning I woke up, and I said to myself, "Mark, this is sick. This is really sick that the first thought in my day is to say, I hate you for a person." So at that point, I decided, okay, every time I think of him, I'll say a prayer or wish him some goodwill during the day. So I'd either say a Hail Mary for him, or I'd say, "Jesus, bless Eric today. Put a smile on his face. Allow your grace to be in his midst," or something short and sweet. But I did that every time I thought of him in a negative way. And that helped me in my healing process and my letting go process. And when my mother was sick and she died in 08, he had heard about it and he reached out to me, and I had a pleasant conversation with him. And I probably couldn't have had a pleasant conversation if I hadn't dealt with it. And so today, whenever I have a difficult conversation with someone, or I have someone that really is pushing my buttons, or can be kind of hurtful. We all have people that are hard to live with, or hard to work with, or hard to interact with. But whenever you have that experience, say a prayer for them and wish them goodwill, because that's what we're called to through our baptismal promises, and that's what we're called to if we're going to be a true Christian, is to wish the good for another. Because it's hard to pray sometimes for the people that wrong us. But they're the ones that need our prayers more. It's easy to pray for the warm, fuzzy people in our lives that affirm us, that give us all kinds of positive feedback. But how about the people that just rub us the wrong way? We're called to pray for them. So let us pray for each other, but pray for those people in our lives that wrong us, that hurt us, that really push our buttons. Because the Lord wants us to spread light, to be true to our Christian calling of words. You know, for decades, scientists have been trying to figure out ways to have chimpanzees talk and to have dolphins talk. And it hasn't worked, and it probably never will, because a three-year-old has a greater word comprehension and use than a chimpanzee or a dolphin ever will. Languages is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us human beings. It helps us to know one another, to express our experiences, and to build up our community. Unfortunately, after original sin, one of these greatest gifts, our languages, has been misused. We use it in negative ways. We use it for gossip, for lies, for innuendos, destructive criticism, and these cause more pain than any hurricane or any earthquake can harm our society. Kind, unkind words wound hearts. They divide families and communities and nations. They cause feuds, infidelity, revolutions, and wars. Christ came to redeem us from original sin, but he also came to redeem our language. Imagine how much brighter our world would be if just 50% of Christians would not put up with gossip, that would put gossip to its end. They would never lie or listen to lies or ill words spoken of another. Imagine how much light would shine in our world if we would do like the gospel said. Jesus said, "Stop judging. Stop condemning." What a great use we could use of our language to build up our community and to build up our own families. During this Mass, I challenge each of us as we receive Jesus in the Eucharist to help us to forgive one another, to help us to watch our tongues from gossip, that we can help to build up one another in our lives and in our actions and in our words, that we can bring greater light into this world, because our world needs more light, not more darkness.